How should we respond when God reveals something new to us? Here's Skip Heitzig with an answer.
It's not about what I have to offer or what you have to offer to me. It's what we're offering to Him. It's about Him. And every revelation of any kind that God gives to us through His Word demands that humble response of, I worship you in what I just found out about you. That's the response. That's the right response.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time.
Are you a Monday morning quarterback? On Monday morning, do you share all the ways you would have played the game differently? Are you one of those sports fans who believes you could do a better job of leading your favorite team as you watch from the comfort of your own home? Well, today in The Connection, Skip Heitzig reveals it's one thing to be a Monday morning quarterback in sports, but an entirely different concept and not a good one when we try to do the same with God. Actually, one of the best ways to avoid becoming a Monday morning quarterback in our relationship with God is by learning how to serve and how to give. And one way you can do that is as a member of the Global Connectors. Your monthly support of the international outreach of this ministry helps us share the good news of the gospel with people all over the world. It's just a small way we can use our finances in service to God instead of telling Him how to run things. Find out more about the Global Connectors and how you can join when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. Plus, if you contact us for the first time today, we'll send you a free lifestyles booklet from Skip. So don't miss out on that free resource. Contact us today and let us know it's your first time to do so when you call 1-800-922-1888. And now, let's find out why we need to let God do the coaching without us second-guessing everything He does. That's next here on The Connection.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
Open your Bibles to the book of Exodus, and let's join Skip Heitzig as he continues our study for today.
Heaven will be the culmination of all of our worship experiences. All of these things just whet our appetite. I give to you the words of Tim Stafford. I'm rereading his book, Knowing the Face of God. He writes about this. I believe this longing can only be fulfilled when our eyes are opened on the loving and glorious face of God. Such will someday be our joy, but not yet. The Bible does not hint that our intimacy with God can be satisfied through prayer or through ecstatic worship experiences or through the Bible. If Moses could not get what he wanted, then we should not be too surprised at our own sense of incompleteness. Our longing is a mark of God's touch. We long to know Him completely because we've come to know Him in part. Now, I got to just add a little P.S. to this, a little note. Fast forward years later, when Moses got his prayer answered, not on Mount Sinai, but on the Mount of Transfiguration, when he, along with his buddy Elijah, saw Jesus appear in His glory, it says, in Luke chapter 9. Foretaste of coming attractions. Okay, so there was a revolt. Moses had a request. God, I want to see you. I want your glory. And if he didn't get that, the question is, well, what did he get? What did God give him? He gave him a revelation. Look at chapter 34 now, beginning in verse 5. Then the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed. Notice that. He proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, here's God talking, the Lord, The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generations. Now, he didn't see God directly. God said, you can't see my face and live. I know that's what you want. You can't have it. Rather, what did God do? He proclaimed, it says. God will give him now a ninefold description of his attributes. Now, please see the difference between what Moses wanted and what he got. He didn't get a sign from heaven. He did not get an apparition or a vision of heaven. Did not get the face of Jesus in a tortilla. He got what? What did he get? He got words. He got words. God, I want to see you. Moses, come here. Let me tell you about myself. Let me give to you my autobiography. Let me give you words that describe me. It's not what Moses asked for. He gave Moses wonderful words that describe who God is and what God does. Now, here's what I'm getting at. Sometimes you ask for something from God and you say, God, I really need that. And have you discovered that God doesn't always think you need what you think you need? And so you don't get it, even though you cry for it. I really want that. I need that. And God says, no, I know what you need more than you know what you need. Here's what you need. This is what I'll give you. So in the New Testament, Paul really said he needed a miraculous healing, right? He had what he called a thorn in the flesh. And he said, three times I beg God to take it away from me and heal me. God, I really need a miracle. I need to be healed. Did he get it? Nope. God said, you don't need that. My grace is all you need. And my strength will be made perfect in your weakness, Paul, because when you're weak, you're going to be relying on me every day. So here's Paul saying, I need that. And God says, don't need that. Here's what you need. Here's Moses saying, I need to see you. God says, you don't need that. And gave him words, a verbal proclamation and description of God. Okay, pause and go forward to the New Testament. After Jesus died and he rose from the dead, not everybody knew he had risen from the dead, not even all of his disciples. And a couple of those disciples were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Remember the story, Luke chapter 24. And they're kind of walking like this, bummed out, talking to one another. What a bummer, what a drag. Life's horrible. Jesus comes walking alongside of them. They don't know it's him. And he goes, hey, how come you guys are so bummed out? I'm paraphrasing. This is the NSV, the New Skip Version. And they said, dude, are you a stranger around here? Don't you know what's happened? The things that have gone on, Jesus goes, like what? And they tell him about Jesus. And it says this, and beginning at Moses, Jesus expounded to them all of the scriptures concerning himself. So Jesus rises from the dead, comes up to the disciples, doesn't give them a sign, doesn't glow for them over in the corner, doesn't go, watch this, da-da. He gives them a Bible study. A Bible study? Words? Yeah, words. And you know what happened? This is what they did. The disciples said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? That's always fascinated me. They got heartburn. Biblical heartburn. And what's interesting is it wasn't because they saw some visible, miraculous sign. Okay, he was alive from the dead, but it was the scriptures that they had been raised with. They'd heard all those stories. They were Jewish kids all their lives, the same familiar stuff, but it's like they'd never heard it like that before. They understood it now. It's like opening a curtain, letting the light flood in the room, flooding all the dark corners, and they walked away going, I get it. Didn't our hearts burn within us as he spoke the words to us? I think you know where I'm going with this. Everything you and I need is found right here in the words of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, that's physical and visible, but by every word of God. Peter put it this way. Everything you'll ever need for life and godly living comes through the knowledge of him who called us. Everything you need comes from his word. I heard about a man who always wanted to go on a cruise. He saved his whole life to go on a cruise. He finally got up enough money to buy a ticket. Well, here's his mind, his thinking. He goes, I have enough money for the cruise. I just don't have enough money for all that great food that they have on those boats. So he bought a ticket, and when he packed bread, peanut butter, and a little jelly. He got above on board, unpacked, put his bread and peanut butter away, and he'd go out, and every day he'd walk by the food line. Beautiful meat and cheese and crab and lobster, and God, it was so good. He'd walk by it, go to his room, peanut butter up his bread, eat it. And he did this for like a couple of weeks. Well, it was like the last day of the cruise, and he's had enough of this peanut butter. He can't handle this anymore. He walks by that food line. He stops a porter, and he grabs and he goes, look, please, I'll wash dishes. I'll do anything. I just want a meal, one meal. That's all I want. I've eaten peanut butter for 2 weeks. The porter looks at him like, are you weird? He says, don't you know that when you buy the ticket for the cruise, all the food comes free? It's part of the package deal. Poor bummer guy. 2 weeks he's had peanut butter and he could have had the whole meal. Well, that's like a lot of Christians I know. Always looking for something more, searching for something more in the Christian life that others don't have. I want more power. I want more of the Holy Spirit. I want more blessings, more glory, more, more, more. And God's saying, it's yours. It's always been. Everything you need, I've given you in my words that if you apply to your life, you'll see things happen. Now, I have a question for you. Are you as excited about his words as you are about his wonders? Because I know some people, some Christians, who would have to answer that honestly, no, I'm not. I want the miracles and the wonders. And if I don't get that, if I have to settle for like a Bible study, oh. God is asking you, are you as excited about his words as you are about his wonders? God proclaims his name, gives a list of 9 attributes that are his reputation. It's so cool that we're going to spend next time looking at this autobiography of God in this section. And this is the only place in the Bible where God does this, lists his own attributes, his own autobiography. It's referred to 12 times after this. The scripture will point back to this great time where the Lord appeared to Moses. So let's look at verse 8 and we'll close. We've seen the revolt of the people, the request of Moses, the revelation that God gave to Moses. And let's see the response. What does Moses do? Verse 8. So Moses made haste. That means he hurried up. Didn't mean he actually made, God, I'm making haste. I'll be right there. And he bowed his head toward the earth and he worshiped. Okay, here's Moses not getting what he asked for, but worshiping God after God revealed himself in his proclamation or words to Moses. You never read of Moses going, hey, God, time out. This is not what I asked for. This is not what I signed up for. I want tingles, man. I want an emotional movement in me. You got to perform here. No, he worships God because Moses saw God as he is in the verbal description of what God said he was, and in getting the whole picture based on what God said, Moses also saw something about himself. And in bowing to worship, it's as if he's saying, God, it's really not about me. It's not about what I want. It's really all about you. You're God, and I'm not. See, up to this point, it's been all about Moses. I got to see you. I can't make it through unless you got to do this for me. He gets this revelation from God and he worships. He's saying, you're God. It's not about me. It's about you. Now, this is a message that needs to be emphasized over and over again today in our generation. Because frankly, we have lived in and live in now what's called a me generation. It's all about me. It's all about my needs. bless me, give something to me. I felt good when? It was years ago. I'm thinking 24, 23 years ago. We weren't even in this building. We were in our other building on Snow Heights. Some of you are old enough to remember that. Well, when we were there, it was a Sunday morning. I think it was second service. And I remember a couple came up to me. It was their first time at church. I never forget this because the guy just sort of rose up like this, cocked himself back and introduced himself and says, "This is my wife. We're here to see what you have to offer." I should have bit my tongue. I know that. I just couldn't help myself. I heard those words come out, and when he said, "We're here to see what you have to offer," I said, "Well, that's great, but you know what? What do you have to offer?" And isn't really that something we need to evaluate? It's not about what I have to offer or what you have to offer to me. It's what we're offering to him. It's about him. And every revelation of any kind that God gives to us through his word demands that humble response of, "I worship you in what I just found out about you." That's the response. That's the right response. So, we close, but I want to leave you with three take-home truths. Ready? Three truths for you to apply and take home. You can write these down. Unless you have like a perfect memory, you can remember everything all the time. If not, take these down. Number one, longing is part of loving. Longing is part of loving. The longing that you have in your heart to know God and be close to God is a good thing. It's part of loving him. It's a mark of God's touch in your life. In fact, God will respond to that longing. We read in Hebrews just a few weeks back, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Longing is part of loving. But understand this, that your longing won't be fully satisfied until you leave this earth and see him in heaven, because you can't handle seeing him right now. You would zzz. So, as you're longing for God, and you keep longing for him, God isn't saying no to you. He's just saying not yet to you. It's very different. Children learn this very quickly. They're 12 years old. "Can I drive, Mom and Dad?" And you don't say, "No, never." Or we'd like to. It might be a better thing. And we say, "Not yet, honey. Not yet. One day you'll be able to do it." Or when it gets to be around November and the Christmas decorations start going up. Well, actually, now it's like August. When the Christmas decorations start going up and we start seeing lights and pine trees and we smell candle scents and we start getting then into December and our children, it's like too much to bear because now they see the presents, a few of them under the tree, and they might ask you around December 22nd, "Can I open my presents?" And you say, "Not yet, because Christmas is special. You're going to do it on that day. We're going to wait for that day." I remember when I was young and I wanted a bicycle and I was thinking I was going to get one. It was Christmas Eve and it was really early, like 2 a.m. I got out of bed and I snuck into the room where the presents were, where the tree was. And I thought in the dim light, I saw my bicycle under a bunch of stuff. And I started moving over to it, not knowing my mom was right behind me. She followed me and she went, "Not yet. Back to bed." She wasn't saying, "No, never can you ever have that bicycle." It says, "You got to wait. Wait a few more hours. Go back to bed." So longing is a part of loving, and God is saying, "You'll get to see me, but not yet." Number two, worshiping is better than wondering. Rather than just wondering, how come God won't do this for me or that for me? That other person says God like spoke to him today. How about just worshiping God for what he's given you in his word? And when you worship him, you're saying, "Whatever you've done for me, whatever you've given me, I just acknowledge you, and I'm saying it's enough for now. I trust you. I worship you." Longing is a part of loving. Worshiping is better than wondering. Here's the third point, and we close with this. Invisible does not mean unavailable. Just because you can't see God doesn't mean God isn't there and won't work in your life.
but I can't see God.
But he can see you. Job discovered that. He was looking for God, and he said, I go forward to find God, and he's not there. I go backwards, and I can't perceive him. But then he said, but he knows the way that I take. And when I come through this, I'll come forth as gold. David, in Psalm 139, wrote, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, behold, even there your hand will lead me. Years ago, on television, there was a circus. It was a circus made for television. And the primary act in the circus was the tiger act. Bengal tigers placed in a cage, and the trainer would go in. The doors would be locked behind him, and he's in a room, a cage, with all of these tigers. So in one particular episode, the lights went on, the camera zoomed in, the trainer was locked in the cage with these tigers, when all of a sudden something happened and the lights went out. Now put yourself in the trainer's shoes. You're locked in a cage with animals you can't see, but they can see you because the cats see in the dark. 20 to 30 long seconds, that awareness of they can see me, I can't see them. He just stood there till the lights went on, 30 seconds later, and the show continued. God can see in the dark. God can see your thoughts. And that should be, well, it can be a terrifying thing depending on how you live, but it should be a comforting thing. God can see me. He'll walk with me. He loves me. I can't see him. I can't perceive him. But he knows the way that I take. And we're not talking about Bengal tigers. We're talking about the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the one who paid the price for your sins and mine and loves you with an everlasting love. Invisible does not mean unavailable. Final question, and I'm done. Just like the children of Israel had an excuse, and Aaron had an excuse, I threw the stuff in the fire, calf walked out. Lame excuse. Question, what lame excuse are you still hiding behind to not give your life to Christ? Whatever excuse, I'll do it next time. Well, my so-and-so won't like it, or I'm waiting for it. It's a lame excuse. When are you going to let it go and do what God always created you to do, and that is know him?
You know, there really isn't any excuse that's good enough to explain why anyone would put off knowing God. This is eternal life and death that we're talking about. How could we ever make some excuse for why we can't deal with that particular issue right now? Don't make excuses anymore. God wants to know you. Now is the time to answer the question of whether or not you want to know him. If you'd like to talk with someone about what it means to know God, we'd be happy to talk with you when you call 1-800-922-1888. Or you can click on the Know God link at connectionradio.org. As you consider doing that, you may also want to consider picking up this month's resource package featuring the Epicenter DVD. Here's more.
Where is the center of the earth? Well, if you're speaking scientifically, it's deep within our globe beneath at least three other layers. However, historically speaking, the center of the earth is none other than Israel, and more specifically, Jerusalem. Why is that? What is it about this one small plot of land that makes it the center of the world's attention? Find out in Epicenter, featuring Skip Heitzig and Joel Rosenberg, available this month from The Connection. This documentary will explain why the trends and currents of history all center on Israel. Plus, when you order, we'll also send you Joel Rosenberg's book, Inside the Revolution, A Peek Inside Radical Islam. Get this month's final days package from The Connection for just $30. Call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org. Get both resources for just $30. Call 1-800-922-1888.
And also, don't forget to order a copy of today's teaching when you contact us. It's available for just $6 when you call us at 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. Plus, if you do contact us for the first time today, we'll also send you that lifestyle booklet from Skip. That free offer is only for people who contact us for the first time today. So if you haven't done so before, call us at 1-800-922-1888 or write us at The Connection. That's P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection.
Next time, we'll get God's version of his biography. Join us as we find out what God has to say about himself. Here on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.